Hello, welcome to My Camino, the podcast. I'm Dan Mullins.
It is literally a journey back to yourself, to your soul, to your source connection. It is a stripping away of all of those fears that we carry with us every single day.
That was this week's guest, Deborah Wilson, and we'll get to Deborah in a moment. But first, this is a weekly podcast about the Camino de Santiago, or the Way of St. James. Pilgrims walk Caminos on a pilgrimage, and pilgrims have walked for centuries. Indeed, it's said the Camino Francés, the most popular route from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port in France over the Pyrenees to Santiago de Compostela in northwest Spain, has been walked for millennia. And I was lucky enough this week to talk at length to a couple of pilgrims from around the world. One had booked her ticket to head from the west coast of the United States to Spain to begin her Camino in August. The other, an Irish pilgrim, was heading to Porto to begin the Portuguese Way next week. Spain and Portugal are slowly opening their borders to tourists, and that means pilgrims. So make the most of it. And I saw a wonderful quote this week attributed to the website Spirit Daughter. Buy the plane ticket. Quit the job. Accept the date. Start the company. Write the book. Sign up for the class. Make the call. Plan the trip. Wander into the unknown. Open your heart. Take the leap. So many of my guests have talked about their renewal, their awakening. And one of the lyrics of my Camino song that I wrote on the Meseta in 2017, somewhere along the way, talks about an old soul awakening, because I walked with someone who to me appeared to be a very old soul. But it also appeared to me that on this current journey, the soul was being ignored in a way. And the Camino was allowing, or in a way encouraging, the old soul to awaken, to come to life. And it was amazing to watch. Now, I should concede I'm an Australian man in my mid-50s. I'm a radio broadcast and podcast producer, a lifelong musician. I was never one for talking much about souls, unless I was reflecting on my Catholic upbringing, when we were often told our souls would be banished to burn in hell for sinning, and the fact that I was born with sin, my soul tarnished from the get-go. So souls and I have kind of, I suppose, had a kind of checkered past. But here I was, not only singing about souls, but talking about souls and talking to other men my age about souls. And in many ways, it's my awakening, isn't it? Remember the din of an albergue courtyard or a cafe mid-morning swelled with pilgrims from around the world. You see someone you haven't seen in a while and you call across the street as they wander into town. They've already spotted those plastic chairs and the beer signs, and they're pulling up for a second breakfast. This collective of souls. What a joy to have found this gift, this discovery, this leap of faith. My guest this week, Deborah Wilson, wrote to me recently and said she'd thoroughly enjoyed listening to my interview with Jennifer Clough. And Jen talked about something going on beyond our understanding, that pilgrims are doing a service for the planet by walking the Camino. And Jen alludes to the fact that when we return from walking it, people want a part of that joy and the peace that we exude. They find our joy, our very presence, magnetic. And Deborah wrote to me to say, a pilgrim on the Camino's soul comes here to experience joy. That is its purpose, to expand itself and the collective soul. And that's why the Camino is calling so strongly to us. It's a call for love over fear. And walking it, Deb said, we raise both our individual vibration and the collective vibration, and there is quite literally nothing more important than that. So let's take this leap together. Deborah's on the line from the UK. Welcome, pilgrim.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
Let's get to the Camino in a moment, and I want to talk about what you wrote to me. But first, Deborah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, yes. I'm obviously English, but have lived most of my adult life in Spain. And I never actually intended to go to Spain at all. And it was obviously very much part of my soul directive, as you were just talking about, that led me there. And I'm just so very, very grateful that it did. I studied languages, actually wanted to do French and Italian, but that course wasn't available to me as I wanted to be an interpreter. And so I was forced to study Spanish. And as soon as I set foot on Spanish soil, I was just absolutely swept away by that magic that's in the Spanish soil. So I'm very grateful for that.
How wonderful. So how many years have you been in Spain?
Gosh, let me see. I lived there after I'd finished my studies in the early 90s for a few years. Then I did a bit of a, what do you say in English, Camino Desvío, Camino Deviation, off to Mexico for 9 years, where I was an underwater videographer, as you do. And yes, but always intending to come back to Spain, always intending to come back and do a Camino. I still hadn't actually done one. And I didn't come back. I came back to Spain in 2007 and had been there until this whole current situation started to take place in March. Whenever, was it March of last year? I've completely lost track of time.
Yeah.
So, yes, from 2007 till last year, and I've been back in the UK since that, just dying to get back to Spain.
Yeah, right. So how did the Camino come into your life? How did you understand it or come to know about it?
Well, I was contemplating that, obviously, knowing that I would be talking to you. And I remembered it must have been the early 90s, my brother had a printing press in London. And I saw this pamphlet by people called Pat Quaife and Marion Marples. And I thought, gosh, those are wonderful names. It sort of sounds like a ladies' detective agency or something. and I was intrigued. And they were part of something called the Co-Fraternity of St. James.
Of course.
And I said, well, so what's that then? What's this all about? And that is that it was, you know how you have little breadcrumbs that are dropped throughout your life and you look back and you see exactly what those breadcrumbs were that were leading you back to your soul connection?
Yeah.
And that was definitely one of them, because I got so fired up about the Camino, because I've always been a bit of a Pollyanna, shall we say. And in England, that's not really very accepted. You're not meant to talk to people. My family were always telling, stop smiling at people you don't know. Stop talking to people you don't know. You're not meant to do that. We don't do that in England. You're not like us. Stop. I was just a naturally very exuberant soul from the get-go. And so when I heard about this place where you're actually meant to go and speak with people and you're meant to talk to them and connect and look out for each other and be kind, all those things were just absolute joy to hear. Mm. So I absolutely knew I was going to do it. I just didn't know when. And as I say, there are a few Camino deviations along the way, but I didn't actually get to start my full-on Camino connection until 2007, which is when I think I alluded to this in one of my messages to you. I started with the it was because of a fellow Australian, in fact, a chap called Gary Boudin, who I think will be familiar to a lot of people linked with the Camino, because he and I shared a house in Oxford with a lot of other people from all around the world, and they were all very sort of high-flying careers. He was an astrophysicist, you know, in Oxford, very, very intellectual elite. I was not, I hasten to add. it was like that. What's that show? There's an American show where there are all these boffins that live in a house, and there's the one girl who's help me out here, Dan. I can't remember what it's called.
Big Bang Theory.
Thank you so much. That's exactly it. That was sort of what it was.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, right. That's hilarious.
but I was the one that was saying to them, no, you've got to follow your dream. You've got to follow your bliss. You've got to, you have to. And Gary's dream was always to be very involved in hiking and to maybe move out to the Picos de Europa. And I think his connection with the Camino had already started. I don't quite remember. But anyway, so I'd like to feel that I encouraged him to go and follow his dream. So he shifted out to northern Spain, and serendipitously, as is often the case, came across the Camino and has been involved in it since then. He knows so much about it. His has an encyclopedic knowledge of the Camino. And so when I came back from Mexico, we were still in touch, and he said, "Now, Deb, now's your chance." And he was actually working with, I know some of you will think, the dreaded Torregrinos, those that come to walk maybe more on the Camino rather than walking the Camino. But he was working, he had met, well, he's walked, oh my goodness, I don't know how many dozens of Caminos Gary has walked. And on one of those Caminos, he met two women who were walking, and they loved it so much, and they decided that they wanted to make it available to many more people who maybe wouldn't initially be tempted by the thought of backpacking and dirty socks and albergues full of snoring pilgrims. And so one of them, a lovely lady called Kathy Kinlock, owns a travel agency in Canada, and she decided with her great friend Liz Heron, who I later had the great pleasure to work with, to set up a version of the Camino. And I can hear the gasp of horror around the world, but I absolutely wholeheartedly stand by the fact that whatever way the Camino comes into your life, you honour that. Mm. And for many of these people, I'm sounding a bit defensive here, I know, but for many of these people who came and walked with us, they never, ever would have done it had it not been with the support. There are lots of single women. There were couples who one of them really wanted to walk and the other didn't, so they would lure them in this way because it was very much, well, one of our guests called it the Gucci Camino, which was quite true. Because we did stay in Paradors, you know, that lovely state-run chain of hotels.
Sure.
And we did stay at beautiful places. And I made them, I like to think of them as gourmet picnics. That might be pushing it a bit, but lovely picnics at midday. I loved the thought of their just turning up from their walk and this feast being laid out in front of them. So anyway... yes, they did have the Gucci Camino, but it was sort of like the gateway drug to walking the Camino. And many, many of those people did indeed come back and walk their own Caminos. I won't say a real Camino because I absolutely stand by the fact that whatever way you're doing it, it is your Camino.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there are so many different ways to do it, and so... few people have time or the resources or the inclination even to do it in my way or your way or anybody else's way. They do it in their own way, and they ought to be encouraged and respected
exactly.
for doing that. Hey, you know, I
exactly.
mentioned in my introduction, Deb, my Catholic upbringing. Are you religious?
Yes. No, I'm not religious. I was brought up in the Church of England. And I do, because as we all do, I had this knowing inside me that there was something way more going on here. And I had that knowing, and I was looking for it from a very, very young age, because I just knew, we all know, we have that sense of connection.
Mm.
And I tried to find it within the church. And of course, many people do. Of course, it is there. It's at the very heart of it. But when I went to get confirmed for my sister's wedding, and I remember holding hands and just thinking, no, this is not where it, whatever it, yeah. at that stage, I still didn't know what it was. It wasn't within the church. And some people obviously can connect to it through the church, and that's wonderful, that's beautiful, but it was not my way. But obviously, as we've already established, I think I am very spiritual, and I've...
Yeah.
given up being spiritually apologetic, as I used to call it, of, you know, people can see it as something rather woo-woo. And, of course, it's extreme, you know, but it's extremely real. It's the most real thing in my life now, so.
Yeah, how wonderful. That's a wonderful realization.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and here we are talking about it. And as I said earlier in the introduction, you know, it's not sort of the sort of thing that Australian men talk about.
But no.
But having said that, it's offered a great insight for me, which is a really lovely thing. And there are plenty of Australian blokes that I've talked to about it. And it's nice to hear them talk about it too. You wrote to me to say Jennifer Clough's episode clarified something that has perplexed you for years, that why the Camino is not just an important part of your life, but a crucial element of your life.
Yeah.
Just talk us through that realization, if you would.
Absolutely. Gosh, it was very, very serendipitous because there were sort of two stages to this, very directly linked to your podcast. Because I have realized I have been on a Camino, on a pilgrimage back to myself from birth, as indeed I believe we all are. And so I had, we'll talk about the a Camino that we all have, which for me was in 2017. And that sort of started a whole real acceleration of the Camino back to myself, my path back to myself. Indeed, I know you love a good quote, and I'm sure you've heard it many times, but the Rumi quote, "We're all just walking each other home," that resonates very powerfully with me.
Yeah.
Was doing this, culminated this whole journey, as it were, I've been doing over the last few months, a spiritual practice, of which, of course, there are a gazillion. This particular one is called Tire, which is Trust Your Abundance. And it is actually a course that I've been following over the last 3 months. And it's been leading me like to this very moment. And I'm feeling chills as I speak about this, because I was just finishing this course and I was doing one of the last modules within it. And it said about what you would like to manifest within you. And I thought, well, I would love to manifest a feeling of more levity and joy. And so I thought, well, what gives me that? Obviously the Camino. And so I went to your podcast, and it was the wonderful Jennifer Clough episode, which absolutely blew me wide open. And she talked about obviously what exactly was going on, and she explained it in words which I could never find myself, because I knew the Camino is about this joy and connection and letting go and freedom, but I couldn't explain exactly. And when she said about it is absolutely the calling to us, and I know that 100%, and it is to raise this collective vibration, which I absolutely now understand is why we're all here and why the Camino is so fundamental, because in raising our individual vibration along the way, we are raising the collective vibration. And I believe that is exactly what my soul's purpose is, to raise my vibration and to be that light and to raise the collective vibration. That is the most important thing in my life now. So that, and another element of her beautiful podcast was about the heart connection, which sort of astonished me that in all these years I'd never really turned to look at my heart space. Gosh. And it was so very obvious when she talked about this heart space that we all have and dropping into that heart space and how you naturally do that on the Camino. And it literally, from that moment on, it focused my heart space and I felt something opening within me. And I've opened up even more to this beautiful connection. And I will tell you how I've tested opening up this heart space, Dan. I'm sure as an Australian, you'll appreciate this.
Because of course.
The first morning I went for a run, as I always do, I have an Australian cattle dog. And you know what those dogs are like.
Fantastic.
I assume you're familiar with them.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And we would always have the tussle because, as you know, they're very strong and willful animals. And I would have this this tussle with him of his trying to pull me one way and trying to do his, they have this like shouty thing that goes on at some stage when they get overexcited. And I had tried every which way and like shouting at him, which obviously only made. And then I thought, well, if I connect to my heart space as I'm running, and if I connect, and I had the most beautiful run of my life connecting and opening up with nature. And when he started his shouty thing, I thought, well, if his nature, I'm going to connect to his heart space. So I held on to his collar and did as Jennifer describes when she was talking to a crying pilgrim. She took herself off and quieted down her heart, got into her heart space. I did the same with him, held his collar, calmed him down, got into my heart space and tried to connect with his. And would you know, it absolutely worked. And
no!
So, yeah,
that's
unbelievable,
amazing.
Eh? Yeah, unbelievable. You know what the Australian cattle dog is like.
Well, I know what all Australians are like.
Indeed, yes. And if I may just like the final component, Dan, because it's to me is so significant. Just tell you the final component was when I was finishing this this online course. I hit Tire, Trust Your Abundance, and it. The final message, it's actually part of a streamed, a channeled message. Mm. And I was listening to this final channeled message from the stream, as it's called, and I had these tears of joy and love and appreciation rolling down my face. And I thought, this feels exactly like being, I'm covered in goosebumps now, exactly like being in Praça de Obradoiro at the end of Santiago, when you're standing in front of that cathedral and the tears are rolling down your face of joy, of everything. And I was thinking, this feels exactly like that. And thinking, well, my mission, my purpose is to inspire as many people as I can to actually finish writing this book that has been being written within me for so many years about the Camino. And lo and behold, I was thinking, well, I must start that. I must get involved in it now. Not I must, I want to. And your message popped up exactly as I was thinking that, saying maybe we should have a chat. So
yeah, that's great. Oh, wow.
Talk about serendipity in the universe colluding. Yes.
Yeah. But let me just say this to you, if I may. I can hear in your voice that you're adventurous, that you talked about the Pollyanna, that your folks, so, you know, we don't talk to people, you know, that's not our way, you know, the British very buttoned down kind of way, I suppose,
exactly.
The stiff upper lip way, probably didn't.
Yes.
But then you wrote to me, though, and said that I love the serendipitous nature of this communication, as you just said, and you've been contemplating how to live with a little more sense of fun and levity. Did you not already?
Yes.
Did you not already have fun and levity? You sound to me,
yes,
like somebody who does take the leap that I spoke about earlier. Take the leap.
Yes,
you sound like that.
Yes.
So
that's a great observation. There is definitely that within me, but there was always this earnestness about everything. I tend to be. Way too earnest, particularly about words, and particularly about reading and writing. It all had to be it was all just a bit too earnest. I knew that I needed to have a bit more. Yes, I find a great deal of joy, I always have done, but it would tend to, I would tend to take whatever endeavour I was on a bit too earnestly. And yes, that would be the answer to that. Yes.
Okay. I wonder if that is a bit of the Brit in you.
Well, yes, do you know what? That's a really, really great observation.
Yeah, yeah.
And
interesting, isn't
it? Yes, yes.
Interesting, the stoic Brits, you know. I mean, it's so funny in many respects that we sort of have this identity attached to our nationality, you know, when it's that just lines on a page, for goodness sake. It doesn't really... I suppose, or perhaps it does. Perhaps
well,
we are.
I'm beginning to think it does, yes.
Yeah, yeah, by you know, I suppose, you know, I talk often here, and when I'm interviewing Americans, I say, well, you know, Americans and Australians are very similar. We're very lucky people, and Brits are the same. You know, why do we seek this simpler life? Why do we want to walk 35 Ks a day, get blisters, and sleep in rooms with 90 other people, and... Why?
Yes, indeed.
You know, it doesn't make sense in many respects. So, you know, okay, you do your reading, you think it's a bit of an adventure, but maybe there are those amongst us in our collective communities who say there must be something a little bit more. And you said, and I thought this was really interesting, when you wrote to me, you said that Jennifer Clough's words made you connect so deeply to the source of all that matters and yes. truly understand how we can live from that place of joy and connection in every moment.
That's
a wonderful commitment to you.
Yes.
Isn't
it? Oh, absolutely. It absolutely is. And as I say, that has always been, that's I've been coming back to myself, walking myself and walking each other home. It is, the Camino is that of coming very much into my joy, into my truth, and into that sense of trust.
Yeah.
And that is obviously, as well you know, very much at the heart of the Camino.
Yeah.
And that trusting that the universe, that the Camino will provide, trusting
mm-hmm.
that you will find a bed for the night, trusting that you will come across someone in the right moment that will deliver to you what you need, be that a beer, be that a smile, be that a hug.
Yeah.
Trusting your abundance. I don't want to sound like I'm some sort of, you know, acolyte, apostle for the course that I've just done, but the abundance being your very nature, your connection back
and
to yourself, back to source,
exactly.
which is what we find on the Camino.
Right. And less about our identity and more
absolutely.
And more about our soul.
Absolutely. It just occurred to me, the soles of the shoes. I know I'm not the first one to make that observation, but it just popped into my mind.
Yeah,
looking
yeah,
after
yeah.
both your souls and your soul, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you do, and that's obviously, I know other people have alluded to that many times, but that identity is stripped away from you, your ego self. Not that there is anything wrong with our ego self. We need it. It has the purpose.
Mm.
But that ego self is quietened. And that ego self is not given prominence. Obviously, you're not Dr. So-and-so, you're not a lawyer, or you're just a soul in a human body, having a human experience, walking the Camino.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fantastic. You know, a very dear friend of mine who was raised in a Pentecostal cult, and he left when he was 21. He's now 40, and he's writing a book about it. And he said, it's so frustrating because the more research he does and the more writing and reflecting he does, the more he learns about it, that he has to go back to the start every time and rewrite it through the prism, looking at it through the prism of what he subsequently learned. And he said, Dan, it's driving me insane because I keep having to go back to the start.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and so the more he learns about what he's learned, he's got to go back and write about it.
Well, that's exactly the same for me. Exactly the same. Well, I feel that literally, yes.
Yeah.
Because the first writing will get onto my The Camino of 2017, that when I came back, the first writing of the book was just so self-indulgent. And so what I always try to avoid on the Camino, that introspection, you know, that, but not in a good way, of just having to put down every single experience. And I realized this is of no interest to anyone whatsoever, not even to my mother, you know, how many times you changed your socks. And but it was literally just getting out. Mm. And I came to peace with that. That's, you know, there's a phrase, the book before the book, that was my book before the book, just processing it and getting it out of my system. And then I wrote another version when I had started to find this sort of sense of connection, and started writing another version, sort of detailing my experience, my, don't like to use the word journey, but I can't think of another word, a journey back to myself. But then I came across this further realization, and now that one is not invalid, but it's no longer my deepest truth. So, like your friend, I'm sort of forced to start again. But in fact, the book that I initially thought that I was going to write, because when I was doing all those Camino trips with the guests, I would look at the pilgrims and think, gosh, especially when they came into the cathedral square, and think, wow, is that real? Is that joy and euphoria? Is that, could that possibly be? Are they exaggerating? Is this, And I kept thinking, I want to experience that for myself. One day I will experience that for myself. And another thing that I saw was this outpouring of love. And I found I started coming across people who had met and fallen in love on the Camino. And I thought, how incredible would that be? Oh, my goodness. And so I thought, well, I know. I'm going to write a book about love on the Camino. That's the name of it. And it will be tales of people who have met along the way. So that's what I thought the book would be, little knowing that I would, you know, then go on to have my incredible experience on the Camino, and that would be sort of put on the back burner.
You're writing this book. It's an ongoing process. And as you said to me in one of the messages, there's so many unexpected twists and turns, layers to it. It just keeps evolving. But I wonder, have you ever, or have you been able to succinctly capture exactly what the Camino is when people ask about it? It's been in your life for a long time, and I wonder, you know, are you able to say, oh, this is what it is, when someone asks?
Well, not since a few days ago of hearing Jennifer Clough. Literally, until then, it was very much a saying, well, it's because of the connection. Well, it's because of you're in a sense of joy and deep peace. Your fears drop away. And it would just be this. And I could see their eyes sort of glazing over, and I lost them. But because, as well we know, you can't communicate what the essence of the Camino is until you've actually done it. So it's a real catch-22. Mm. But now I can sum it up in that it is literally a journey back to yourself, to your soul, to your source connection. It is a stripping away of all of those fears that we carry with us every single day. Mm. It's entering a state of not just forgiveness, but of immense appreciation of all that we are, of all that others are. It's walking with great intention and with a sense of connection, not just to yourself, to each other, to the earth, and back to yourself. So those are sort of the four pillars, as it were, that Jennifer clarified for me, because she spoke about, I think she called it filing your fears as they drop away from you. And I feel that this has been very much at the heart of the process I've been going through over the past 3 months. Within this practice, it's a process of detuning the fears that we all have within us and finding what the roots of those fears are. And having done that, I went back to my very, early childhood, and you're from a childhood perception, you have those fears, and I thought it would be a bottomless pit, and it's not. You find where that, I don't know about you, but I always had a very sort of a hum of anxiety within me at all times. Sometimes it was very muted, barely aware of it, and other times it came out in full-on sort of panic and fear. Mm. And I would never have been able to do this, for example, talk to you a few months ago. It would have terrified me, the thought of it. And now that I've gone back and found where those roots came from and come to a stage of, I think you'd call it, radical appreciation, radical forgiveness, and actually appreciating what we co-created, because we are all creating our realities. And I believe that very firmly. And those, they could be perceived as transgressors that are within our lives, are there for a reason. You're there together to create, for your soul to experience that. We came here to experience this life, this earth, and to have those experiences for our expansions.
What were you frightened of?
Well, it was, we're all conditioned by fear, aren't we? We're completely conditioned. We're brought up to be, and when you actually stop and look, it's quite astonishing. And the very fundamental one within all of us is that fear of death. My beautiful grandmother instilled in me, who was, I think, a Baptist, I was terrified of dying. Absolutely terrified. If I was going to hell, then what was the point of being here? How cruel to have been brought into this world. Terrified of dying. And then, of course, I took on all of my mother's fears. She was in the early 70s. She became a divorcee, which was obviously in England, was like an absolute terrible thing to be. And so I took on that sense of anxiety about not being able to show who we really were, trying to keep up appearances, terrified of showing who we really were underneath. We went from being this perceived, as you know, in England, this horrible class system that we have here, as supposedly whatever you were. Well, my father, God rest him, bless him, he was, I can't believe I'm admitting this, he was president of the Queen's English Society, and there,
there you are.
And there you sort of, yes, and there you are. So I was having to try and keep up this pretense. We were, my mother was beautifully presenting us in these handmade clothes, but we didn't have a penny. We were, we were, to all extents and purposes, poor. My father had left with the money, and I don't know, transport or whatever, but we were trying. And so that desperate fear of showing who you are, of revealing your true self, of being turned away wow. from a party because I was the daughter of a divorcee. So those fears, gosh. Those anxiety, which are programmed into us, and they're programmed into all of us, Dan. That's just, you know, we're programmed to fear not making the end of the month, when you know, with money. We're programmed to be of, you know, if you did dare to go out and live your dream, then you still got the bills to pay. We're yeah. we're programmed to fear losing our health. We're and the death, I think, is thing is very much at the heart of that. And our health system is basically getting us to avoid. You know, one day I think we will embrace death as very much a joyful experience. And that will be the ultimate, I suppose, detuning of the fears. And once we come from that place, then we are free to really connect with our soul and to live and express our highest joy and our very soul's purpose.
Wow, that's fantastic. Oh, Deborah, that is amazing. Wow, what a story. Yeah, that's, yeah. Golly.
I'm glad it resonates.
Yeah, it really does. You sent me a message, I don't know, it was a day or so ago, and said, oh, I've been listening to all these other episodes. I'm so boring. What am I going to be? What am I going to talk about? I'm going, are you for real? And now I'm listening to it going, wow, what a story. I mean, there's so much to sort of unpack from all of that, but I want to go back to the Camino de Santiago the actual walking, the pilgrimage
yes.
itself
yes,
that provided
yes, yes.
this insight. I mentioned in the introduction meeting other pilgrims in the town square, the cafes, the albergues. Did you enjoy the day-to-day grind of the pilgrimage? And in 2017, did you, or was it a sort of almost like a, oh, hang on, something's happening here?
Well, this is my story, Dan, that I've told you that I don't think anybody else has, I know other people have had this experience, but I don't think you've spoken to anyone that had this particular experience that I have. Look at me building up the suspense. I just to give a little bit of background to the pre-Camino was 2017, and I was with my husband of 19 years, an Argentinian chap called Pablo, and we'd worked together on the Camino with the groups, and we'd done a bit of the Camino Mozárabe because we lived in Granada actually on the Camino, but we finally because we never had time because I was walking every May and June and September and October I was working on the Camino and then doing my proper job as such the rest of the time. So 2017 was sort of the obvious opportunity to walk our own Camino. And just to set a bit of background, we'd been together for 19 years. He's Argentinian, and he was very much in Spain because of me. And we had encountered quite a lot of bumps along the way that he was wanting back in Argentina. And so we'd sort of talked about a year before of possibly going our separate ways, but we very much did have a deep love for each other. And so we decided we would we would not separate and we would stay together and make it work. And so it felt like a consolidation of our love and our commitment to each other to be walking the Camino together. And we, because we'd done the French Camino so often, what we really wanted to do was the Camino del Norte, and particularly the Primitivo. And so we set off to walk that, and expecting it to be a very joyous and I wanted to know that, as you say, that daily grind, the staying in albergues, the washing your socks, the fat farting German in the bed next to you, which would doubtless happen, and all the elements that I had never experienced. I was so excited to experience that. I really wanted that. And indeed, on the very first night in Irun, I don't think we're meant to swear on this podcast, are we? But
I'm
allowed the okay, jolly good, excellent. Because we went to this, it was the overspill of the albergue, and it was this garage in Irun, and I was so excited just to be there. I didn't care. I would have been sleeping on a spike. I didn't care. And it was literally, the beds were not just next. They were literally, you were sleeping literally almost in the same bed as the next person. They were that close. And it was packed in there. There was like a plywood partition between the loos. It was, and I was just thought this was wonderful. And I said to the hospitalero, this Basque chap who, as you know, they're very down to earth. And I said, this is wonderful. This is just so exciting. I'm so happy to be here. And he went, no, it's not. In Spanish, he said, no, it's not. It's shit. Which, you know, in that very Basque blunt directness, to me, I was so, with such stars in my eyes, just to be there. On the next day, I started to go into my earnest mode of, we need to find a place to stay. We don't have a place to stay. I think we should find it. And started calling, because I thought, you know, I wanted the spontaneity, but then I sort of get, oh, I don't know, this feels a bit, oh, I'm not used to this. And because we had set off so early, that no albergues were going to be open. And I spoke with an hospitalero, and he said, well, there's no point in sticking around here until 3 o'clock. This was about 11 o'clock in the morning. He said, why don't you walk on to, there's a place called the 12 Tribes just before San Sebastian. And he said, it's a beautiful albergue. You'll be there about the right time. Mm. And so anyway, we ended up there. It was an absolutely gorgeous place. Actually run by a sect, but we shan't digress into that. Gorgeous place, actually very, very lovely people. The only downside being there was no wine. I think it was the only night on the Camino that I didn't have wine with dinner. So anyway, at this place was where, very serendipitously, as you know, what was to be our Camino family was formed. And part of this family was this English chap, who I had heard earlier in the day. I totally misheard him. And I had, in that horrible, horrible judgmental way that we have, particularly of summing up, you know, he had like the tattoo, he looked like the sort of, in my mind, and I've told him this many times, an ex-military thug, and I misheard something he said. I thought he was being rude about some women with fat bottoms that had been in the albergue, and I'd completely misheard him. He's the kindest, loveliest chap. And I'd say, well, I hope we don't have to come across him again on the Camino, you know. And ended up sitting next to him at dinner, and he has the most incredible English sense of humour. And so, of course, I was rolling in laughter, and all those judgments fell away. And another Doyen, a beautiful, statuesque German girl, German woman of Nigerian origin. She was next to me on the other side, and a lovely Canadian couple. So, and a young chap called Søren, a German chap who walked with us for a while. And anyway, so that was where the Camino family was formed. And I was, we walked together for about a week and just having the time of our lives. It was just joy in a bottle. It was just absolutely everything I could possibly have imagined and more about the Camino. You know, even the fat farting German in the bed next to me was so joyful and so just I was just so happy to actually be experiencing and now understanding what it was really all about.
Yeah.
And so, but then just to move things on a bit, I had to go off, as one does. I had a work commitment, a work meeting in Sarajevo in Bosnia. And so I had to take myself off the Camino for 4 or 5 days. As you can imagine, it was pretty complicated getting out of the heart of the Camino and getting myself back to Bilbao and to fly to Sarajevo for 4 or 5 days. And that was the last thing I wanted to do. Oh, I was gutted. I was heartbroken, waving goodbye to them on the Santander train station. When I was there, it's a very place that's very obviously reminiscent of great dispute and strife.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started getting messages from Pablo, or rather not getting messages from Pablo. And I started to feel really insecure and like waves of insecurity like I'd not felt since I was a teenager. Thinking, gosh, this feels odd. You know, what's going on? When I came back to the Camino, fully expecting him to meet me at the bus station in Via Viciosa, which is there where they had got onto by that point. it was marked lack of an Argentinian clasping flowers waiting for me. And my friends, my family told me, yes, something's really going on with him. We don't know what's happening. He's having some sort of breakdown to all intents and purposes. And we don't really know what's going on with him. And anyway, they sort of... because I will always address the issue. And so I tried to speak with him and he was like, and we had a massive argument and I could see my Camino family thinking, oh gosh, this is not what we had planned.
Yeah.
And, they one by one started a splinter group and they decided they were going to walk the Norte. Well, Pablo and I were the only ones that were going to walk the Primitivo and I was absolutely devastated. Anyway, long story short, I knew that if I asked him to walk, he was very stubborn. So I got the lovely doyen to say, would you maybe come and walk with us? And so anyway, we all ended up still together. Thank God our Camino family was still together, intact, and we did the Norte. But this is a story which I don't know if you will have heard before, because when I got to Gijón that evening, we had a group WhatsApp, obviously, he disappeared for a couple of days, and obviously I was very worried. And anyway, finally he called me, and I said, well, you know, I don't understand. Why would you do that? I don't think I can accept this. It's just, he said, these last words that I heard from him, he said, that's it. It's obviously in Spanish, but yeah, that's it. Ya está, ya terminamos. That's it. We're through. We're done. We're finished. And true to his word, yes, is that it's the humdinger of a story. I did promise you one. And true to his word, I did not hear another word from him. Which left me with the predicament of, okay, because I knew how very stubborn he is, and I bear him no ill feeling. Now, I want to make that very clear. I love him. You know, I bear him no. I love him as a friend, a bit of a spoiler alert. We are no longer together. He did not contact me again, and so I was in the predicament of. I thought, well, I can't in that issue. I can't. Foist myself on my Camino family. I'm going to be distraught and devastated. I will just have to go home. And the thought of walking it by myself, I thought, well, I could do that, but it was just way too scary. And I thought, well, I can't believe I'm going to have to do this, but I think I'm just going to have to go back to Granada and
sort out your life.
Maybe I'll find the courage. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But this is to me, this was going to be my story, but it's so relevant. I'm going to tell you you always ask for a Camino story, but
sure.
This is my Camino
story. Sure.
Is that my friends, getting emotional now, my Camino family did sort of an intervention as such. They got me a glass of wine first, sat me down, let me cry, let me tell them what had happened. And they sat me down and they said, we know you, we're your family. We know that you're going to want to do that English thing of taking off. You're going to want to go away, lick your wounds by yourself. You won't want to sort of be the Debbie Downer, I says, of the Camino on us. And we're not going to let you do that. You're our family. You're staying with us. We're not letting you go. You can be or do, and you can be whatever you want. You can cry all you want. We accept you totally unconditionally. That's what your Camino family is for. And you're staying with us.
Oh my gosh, what a great story. Heavens. Yes. So
I did. And I had the absolute time of my life.
It was
absolutely glorious. And that walking into the square at the end of it was everything and a gazillion times more than I could ever have imagined it would have been. And it was. And there was also another aspect, because not only did I do that, but when my Camino family one by one left, I was absolutely bereft. And this is sort of my reserve story, I suppose. I went to the train station, and this is sort of the intuition that Jennifer Clough talks about, because I was at the train station and the ticket, he said, so, ¿a dónde va? You know, where are you going? And I expected to say Granada. And I found myself saying, I don't know. And he was like, well, maybe you want to come back when you do know.
Oh, no.
Next, please. And so I went off and I thought, what on earth is happening? What is happening? Where do you want to go? And my soul, my intuition answered me, Santander, which was where I had missed between Santander and Gijón, my 5 days out in Sarajevo. And I felt that my Camino wasn't complete until I did that. And so I went back and he said, do you know where you want to go? I said, yes, I want to go to Santander. But to my surprise, I want to go. My soul, obviously as it was, my intuition, was telling me I wanted to go to Santander. And so I did. And I had the most incredible experience walking by myself, coming back to myself and walking through. I met this wonderful chap who obviously we were also meant to meet, because he's a very private chap. I'll just give his first name, John, a lovely, lovely man, an American chap. And he had recently lost his wife of many years, and he was a bit older, maybe late 60s. And had such a gentle, kind, but very reserved soul. And I could tell he didn't really want to share his story. So we walked together, but not together. And we got together. And I remember the first morning he was so astonished, because as you know, kindness being such a part of the Camino, I would make people cups of coffee in the morning in the albergue. If I was making myself a cup of coffee, why on earth wouldn't I? And I can remember him being so astonished that somebody would be kind enough to make him a cup of coffee. And I think that sort of cracked something open within him, which is obviously what the Camino does. I think it's another room it cracks us open so that the light can come in. Mm. And anyway, so little by little, he started to tell me a bit about his story. And we ended up being in Villaviciosa, that town where Pablo and I, my husband, I had, to all intents and purposes, split up, the last place we were together. And I on my Camino with my family, I thought I had healed, because I did cry every morning. I cried buckets every morning, and I absolutely wept. And the poor Andy, the English guy that was with us, he said people would be absolutely giving him murderous looks, because they assumed that we were together. And he was walking behind me as this, like, yes, this wailing woman was who had obviously they'd had some sort of argument and he was leaving it. But
that's
poor
funny.
Chap. But of course, the Camino healed. And that's why I was called at that specific time at that specific moment, it was exactly as they say. It doesn't give you what you want, it gives you what you need. And that was exactly what I needed, you know. And so where else would you hear like that but on the Camino? And it was absolutely incredible. But anyway, so in Via Viciosa, I thought I'd cried all I possibly could. But when I was approaching there, I found I was distraught again, absolutely distraught, and thinking 19 years and it's ended, and where do I go from here? And and John, I came across John in the cafe where we had my Camino family had been having a coffee, and he was there.
Yeah.
And he said the most beautiful things to me, and I knew because he was such a reserved and from the heart chap, and saying, he said that I reminded him of his daughter, that she was a beautiful and free soul, and that she was living her life's purpose, and he knew that I had that within me. And that I would find it, and I would find my life's purpose, and that I was absolutely worthy, which is, I think, what we all fear deeply, sure, that we're not worthy. And he just said the exact words that I needed to hear. We were each other's Camino angels, really. Well, I mean, but, you know, I hope I was a bit of what he was to me. Mm. And so that brought it full circle of that complete healing and coming back, walking back to myself, which, as I say, terminated, or well, it's only always that you were just starting it. I think that's a translation of the Spanish, terminal, culminated in the connection with you, literally just a couple of days ago, of my sitting in my inner cathedral square with the tears rolling down my face, thinking, what now? And your message came, and I know that my purpose, along with Jennifer Clough's beautiful messages, is to open my heart to be on the Camino way, to draw other people to it, to collectively expand our souls. And that is what is needed now, I think, more than ever. And that is what's being called forth from all of us. And I don't think I could have found a greater purpose than that.
What do you think you've learned about yourself?
I know what I learned about myself was that I was a chronic people pleaser. This is what the German and the Clatis, who later became part of our family, very much showed me. They showed that, because they say, why do you say sorry all the time? You're always saying sorry. And it's as if you're apologizing for your very existence. And that's what I was doing. I had no sense of worthiness, so I found my sense of worthiness.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Do you know what someone said to me this week?
Oh, gosh, another serendipitous thing. Yes.
Someone said to me this week, why do you say sorry all the time?
Oh, gosh.
No one's Look ever said that to me Dad. Before.
Look at
ever.
That.
And I was,
oh my
I was
God.
Quite.
I love this.
I was quite.
I love this.
I was like, I don't know why. I don't know why. Somebody said that to me this week.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that just fantastic? And you need to look at that, Dan. I needed to look at it. It was within me anyway, literally, and apologizing for who I was, feeling that I didn't have the right to take up so much space as anyone else, and that their time was more important. I always had to be on time. It didn't matter if others weren't on time because I, you know, they were the important ones. I would apologize.
Wait, that's me. Are you for real? Stop it.
That's
amazing. I am always on time. It doesn't matter if anybody else isn't.
That's wonderful. I love that. I love it.
That is so amazing. Wow. Goodness gracious. Well, look, I can't thank you enough. I honestly think we connected because of the enthusiasm in your correspondence, right? So I get messages all the time, emails and texts, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I'll be somewhere and my phone will beep and I'll look down and it'll be, you know, somebody from some part of the world saying, hey, Dan, you know, I really liked your interview with such and such. I go, oh, cool. How good's that? You know, that's great. I just love this communication, this involvement, this community. And when I got your message, I think we connected because of the enthusiasm. And you seemed to me to have learned so much from Jennifer's episode. Mm-hmm. And I thought I ought to talk to you to get your complete story, like the whole story. Like there must be a backstory there. And then you write to me and say, oh, I've checked out the other episodes. I don't have a story really much to tell. Come on. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. And you know what? I could hear in talking to you, like, you kept saying, oh, I'm getting goosebumps. And then I can hear you getting a little bit kind of teary. And I'm a chronic crier. I cry all the time. And I was getting like tears in my eyes and I was thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, here's this person. I don't know Debra Wilson. I don't know you, but somehow I know you. And in hearing your story and hearing the way that the Camino has resonated in your life, the opportunity it's provided to find some respite, some solace, some opportunity for your soul is just such a great story. And I'm so, so pleased that we've been able to talk. And I know there will be people listening thinking, that's my story too. And here I am saying, you say sorry all the time, so do I. and you've been able to say, you know what? Maybe I don't have to. And maybe I'm learning something about myself by talking to you.
Mm-hmm. There are no coincidences.
and you reaching out as a result of learning from Jennifer Clough and the episode with Jen is just such a wonderful, wonderful synergy in the whole thing. I mean, and really, I go back to what you said before, you know, the Camino is a journey back to yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're all walking each other home, yes.
We're all walking each other home. Oh, Debra, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. Getting up early in the morning in the UK, time differences are a challenge sometimes. I have thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. It's been just an absolute delight. I really, really appreciate it. And you've been very honest, I must say. Mm-hmm. You've opened your heart. As we started talking about, you've given us an insight, a little snapshot, a little peek into your soul as well. Walk on, keep believing and taking leaps, my friend. Buen camino.
Thank you so much, Dan. I know we're running over time, but can I just quickly say that I appreciate enormously what you're doing because you're also fulfilling one of my long, long held ambitions and desires. When I'll sit at the Puerta del Camino, a cafe just opposite where the road takes you to the Cathedral Square. And each and every pilgrim that walks past, I want to run up to them. I want to say, what's your story? I want to honor it. I want to celebrate you. I want you to feel seen and heard. I want to know your story. And so, I'm a cry too, but you're doing that on behalf of all of us. And I thank you so immensely for doing this for us. It is part of the purpose, the bigger purpose. So thank you so, so much, Dan, and buen camino to you too.
Well, what about that? My guest this week was the British pilgrim, Debra Wilson. Remember the quote this week from the Spirit Daughter website, buy the plane ticket, quit the job, accept the date, start the company, write the book, sign up for the class, make the call, plan the trip, wander into the unknown, open your heart, take the leap. The Camino community will be there to catch you. Thanks for your company this week and every week. Until next week, I'm Dan Mullins. Buen Camino.